Welcome to Narratives. Lovers of Raymond Chandler fiction will love David Free's style. Shambolic, drunken and heartbroken, his hero is on a downward spiral. A photographer peering through his window for a late night shot is a last straw.
I'm starting to doubt this thing will end soon. Last night one of them came up to the house. I was inside, doing what I do these days when it gets dark. No lights on, no book, no TV, no sounds. Just a glass in my fist, with not much left in it. For some reason I was on my feet, walking past the big side window, when a whisper of movement beyond the pane made me halt and turn. And there the guy was, standing out in the rain. At first I thought he was me. I thought I was looking at my own reflection, a trick of moonlight on glass. Then I raised my arm to take a drink, and he didn't raise his. That was a worry, but I took the drink anyway. There was more light out there under the moon than there was in the house. We looked at each other for what seemed a while. I was drunk, which wasn't helping. If I'd said something to him, he'd have heard it through the glass, but I could think of no quip equal to the occasion. One of us was in the wrong, and I doubted for once it was me. He reached down for something near his waist. I thought, this is probably it. I'm about to get shot. I had time to work out I wouldn't mind that very much. At least it would change things one way or another. Then he brought the thing up to his face, and in the light of its flashes I saw what it was. There's a way such scenes are meant to play out in the age of the image. The infamous man is meant to stride towards the lens, hands raised into the storm of light, grimly primed to mess up the other guy's camera or face or both. Out in the rain, the other guy seemed put out that I wasn't doing these things already. He'd got his shots, but he wasn't leaving. It was my turn to move, and movement has sort of stopped being my thing. I have this strange inertia these days. My taste buds are all shorn off, and the world feels bleached out, as if every day is the day after someone has died. But I wanted him gone. So I played my part. I drifted with the tide, which is another thing I seem to do now. I went for the front door. Beyond its stippled glass panes, his volleys of light started up again, bursting like flak. He was moving back across the deck to the front steps. He looked washy and deformed through the glass, a lean, nocturnal fiend supplying his own lightning. By the time I yanked the door open, he was jogging down the dark steps, a tethered camera lolling around his waist. I didn't bother going after him. I walked out to the deck's edge and watched him trot away down the dirt drive. When he looked back through the weak, wet moonlight and saw I wasn't coming, he stopped trotting and slowed to an insolent stroll. That bothered me. At last, I mustered some outrage. A heavy tumbler in my hand was still half full. I drained it in one go, as if biting the pin from a grenade, then hurled it high into the night. When it was somewhere near the peak of its arc, I stopped hoping it would hit him. Maiming a journalist would be fun for about 2 minutes, and it would start being one more thing I can't live down. Anyway, it missed him. It hit my car instead. I heard the sound of glass bursting and hollow bodywork taking a deep dent, the sound of my life getting worse than it already was. Beyond the car, in the sheltering night, the photographer laughed. Then I wished I'd nailed him. He was down at the haven of the front gate now, out where all the vans are parked, with the logos of the TV networks stenciled expensively on their sides. There are headaches so foul, they pollute your sleep. I've forgotten what the other kinds are like. Even in my dreams, I want to ram my skull through a sheet of plate glass to get relief. Bad tunes get stuck in my head and go round and round, their needle jammed deep in the melting shellac of my brain. I was dreaming she wasn't dead. We were talking. I couldn't hear what she was saying, but that didn't matter. The point was that she was there. She had never gone away. And then I had that moment of freefall, and the dream is over, but reality still hasn't kicked in. In that moment, I still wasn't me, and she still wasn't gone. And then I landed, and the truth lunged back into my head for another day, like a fat bandit vaulting the counter of a convenience store. I half opened my eyes and got a ruinous blast of morning light. I wasn't in my bed. I was on the couch. Phone was ringing. I shut my eyes again. You never know whether to open them or keep them closed. Each thing feels worse than the other while you're doing it. There was a coffee table to my left. I thought maybe there was something medicinal on it. Sometimes, the night before, I have the wit to lay out a care package for the morning after. I eased sideways to check. That made a fistful of small but solid objects slide off my chest and rain down on the hard wooden floor. Harmonicas. What a bad sign that was. Apparently I'd felt pretty good during the night. I had not acted in moderation. While my life burned, I'd laid there in the dark like Nero, playing the blues in multiple keys.
You've been listening to David Free, reading from his book, Get Poor Slow. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Campus Bay FM 99.9 and is supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.